Wednesday morning, and we check in with our good friend and County Councilwoman Marty Hawk. She makes her weekly Wednesday visits. Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Well, I'm just grateful that I'm not working outside today, and I really wish the best for our highway workers and
I-69.
Construction people out there putting on roofs. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Stay hydrated, stay smart, wear loose-fitting clothing and all that. Everybody's air conditioner is going to get a workout today. But Ellettsville had a workout yesterday. Boy, you're the king of the front, queen of the front page today. Oh, my goodness, the Herald Times with the stories of an arson at a daycare center and then a mother dropping her toddler out of a window to escape a fire. You had a busy day.
Heartbreaking, heartbreaking.
What's a happy ending?
I remember that... I've never been in that little apartment up over that. It was an older house that had an apartment upstairs. And I don't know, I haven't heard yet why the fire. It might have been a kitchen fire or whatever.
They did say in the paper it sounded like it
started at the stove in the kitchen near the front of the second floor apartment, according to Abby Taunton.
Yeah, it was just an accident. I mean, things happen, unfortunately.
Right, and, you know, thank goodness the Village Inn folks were there because it's next door and was there and caught that baby. I mean, can you imagine having to choose what to do? She chose to...
Actually, sounds like she was a smart mom.
Right, and then she, of course, had to jump. I guess so she was not able to get out any other way, so I hope that they're all...
The newspaper all said that the kitchen was near the front of the apartment where the door was to exit, so that was a blocked to get out of there, and that was your next thing. So a very dramatic story, a very happy ending as well. We can always rebuild an apartment and buy new stuff and do all that. You can't can't put lives back together, so that was encouraging.
And you know, I just hope that a very safe home will show up for her, that she and her baby will have a nice, safe place to go live. And that may be covered in this morning's story. I read the one from yesterday, so there must be some updates to it. And then, of course, the arson there at the daycare center, that so many families have counted on that daycare center for years and really felt like that was their children's home away from home. And so it was just sad to see. I mean, it was heartbreaking, really, to see that was a case of arson, and it was the owner's son. So that
sounds
owner
like
had,
they've had some real issues with that young man. So, or I shouldn't say young; he's not that young anymore. But you know, it's very unfortunate that there was some obviously very bad blood with that family.
Right? It's just too bad for the whole family and for the community who have relied so much on that daycare center. So, but moving on to
Well, you got some happy news for us, don't you? The Monroe County Fair is getting ready to start here in just a couple of weeks. Give us an update on what's going on.
Right, and actually it's getting started a little earlier than usual as far as time frame. Started on the 27th through the 5th. And of July. And normally the auction, the 4-H auction of their livestock is on Thursday. And we just want to make sure everybody understands it's not going to be Thursday this time. It's going to be on a Tuesday. And they really count on the public showing up to bid on that livestock. So many of those kids, they use that money for their college education to put toward college or to put toward their next animals for exhibit and so forth. So I just hope everybody will remember
Tuesday, and you'll remind us of this every Wednesday until the Tuesday gets going. So don't put that on your list.
And, you know, it's upon us. Actually, our 4-H kids are already out there. They've already started. They set up the 4-H building with their leaders and superintendents. They started that on the 10th, on Monday. And then tomorrow, they'll be out there entering their non-perishable projects. So, see, it starts out way early, and they're also entering their state fair projects and so forth. So,
well, doesn't the state fair start one day after our fair ends? Isn't it a quick turnaround?
Well, but we have to remember are the ones who win the big prize of being able to go ahead and take their project up to the state fair. They have to take that up early. They have to, because they have to have it ready up at the state fair. So that will all be going. That will not be at our fair starting, I think it's on a Wednesday. So really, I just encourage everyone. I hope we have really great weather, and I hope everyone will go out that first weekend and make sure that if their children are interested in seeing the animals, that they'll have the opportunity and they'll be able to see the projects. Our 4-H groups work so hard to have their projects ready for show, and we want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to take a look at it.
Okay, well, you just keep reminding us, and we'll send everybody
out.
Okay.
Those of us who grew up with 4-H, we know how important all of those dates are, even before it opens. They have the fashion review where they're consumer fashion judging. And
I got to do that one year. That was so much fun, Marty.
I was going to say, I mentioned that because I knew that would be something you would have.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was really fun to get to participate in that. They haven't asked me since that one year, but I really enjoyed it.
Well, my sister always won the great big ribbon. She was so talented. So, at any rate, we also want to talk just a bit about the convention center. And they did have a little meeting yesterday afternoon. And it appears that the group are leaning toward that proposal by the Sun Development and Management. They'll be pursuing moving that forward a bit, perhaps getting more information. I don't have the details on it. But I do know that we were told that they did have a meeting, and that looks to be, at this point, the direction they're thinking of. So it's still quite a long ways off, one would think, because, they'll have to go through all the public input and so forth. One would think it wouldn't be happening overnight, but with this town, you never know for sure.
Well, yeah, don't blink, but that's good that we know that it's that process is moving along. Who is in charge of moving that process along? Is that John Weikart and the gang?
It will be the commissioners group. In other words, they put together this committee to make decisions as far as recommendations, and then they will go to the county commissioners. So
there's this, what you guys were talking about is called the Convention Center Advisory Commission.
There you go.
And that is what John Weikart is the chair of. And they give recommendations, and then it's going to go to the Monroe County Commissioners, and then they make the decision, Marty. Is that correct?
Well, of course, they can't make every decision on their own because there'll be other people involved, but the bottom line is it takes that county commissioners to pull it together, because as we speak, the county is we still vote on the budgets and so forth, and so I would think also if they come forward and say they want an additional tax, I would think at this point, unless legislation changes, that's going to be up to the county council if they want that food and beverage tax, because that's how the legislation was put together. So that all remains to be seen, but that has not been determined as to what they're going to ask for. But I think we all could kind of read the tea leaves and know that's kind of where we're headed. The other thing, I understand you want to talk about the public safety tax, and we discussed that just a bit last night at our county council meeting, to the extent that it will be very difficult for us to zero in on our county budgets, because we relied a lot in moving public safety over into the county's proportionate share for public safety tax. And if the county gets less than what we had anticipated, we'll have to go in there and adjust what we had thought that we were going to be spending on public safety with what the county's proportionate share and figure out where we're going to put those expenses in some other budget. And the reason why that's more in question is that when the committee that's been established to look over the request, the fire departments, when they met, they were told by the city that the city is going to be, it appears, asking for additional money for central dispatch. Now, that comes off at the top. So if central dispatch gets more than $1 million in addition to what they're receiving this year, then that money has to come from someplace. So many people have said, well, you know, then maybe the fire departments wouldn't be getting any portion because there's no requirement to give those fire departments anything out of this. Others have said, look, this is what the people supported this so that it would go to the fire departments. If they go ahead and support money for the fire departments for the townships, then that will be a even more of a loss of dollars coming into the county's proportionate share. So all of that, all of the budgeting for all the county fire departments, as well as the budgeting for county government, will rely on what is decided about whether or not there's going to be more money for central dispatch and whether there's going to be the money given out to the fire departments. And that all will, this committee will look at it, and they may make recommendations. Remember, that committee is controlled by the city, so I'm sure they'll be looking to city administration for guidance as to what they would like to do. Of course, they could always raise the tax so that everybody ends up even, except for the taxpayer. The taxpayer comes out with less money in their pocket. So we don't have a money making machine. So
no, we don't.
Well, there's a lot of people who seem to think we do. It seems like to me, Marty, from both ends, on the county and on the city, that they just fascinate me at how much.
But
money
I think with
they
public safety, we
do.
Can make a little. I think that's where people might be willing to bend a little bit further.
Right, and certainly, and I have as well, and because of everything that we've been running into, having to do with all the drug overdoses and so forth, and, you know, our first responders, they really are under a lot of stress. Now, are they saying, yes, we need more central dispatchers because of it? Well, no doubt they're going to be saying
that. That fits right in, doesn't it?
But so will all of our first responders.
Yep.
So,
and as we talked about with Captain Steve Kellums on Monday from the Bloomington Police Department, meaning those who are falling afoul of the law, they don't just hang out in one area. There's no boundary for them, and somebody has to respond, whether it's out in the county, in the city, or right on the border.
Right, and as you saw in the paper, our sheriff saw that our supply was real low for our road deputies, and there was only like one per deputy. But he was working toward getting more, and he was just saying at that time that's all he had. And then he was in conversation with our health department, was able to get more nasal units because what he was, it appears what he had been delivered by one of the suppliers was the injectable kind, which was not what our sheriff's department's going to use. They're going to be using the nasal kind. So in addition to that, to make sure that they're...
Well, that's got to come out of some budget, doesn't it, Marty?
Well, that's what I asked the question last night of our Pinnicotto, who's over our health department, and she was saying what the cost of each one of those doses was. I think it was around $35. But that, so far, she's been getting that from elsewhere. In other words, it was.
This is a medication that reverses the opioid overdose or treats exposure to the drugs that the first responders, in this case the sheriff's department, has to have. And if you went from using 5 of these a month to 20 of these, I don't know what the numbers are, but that number's got to come from somewhere.
This stuff is supposed to be expensive too.
Yeah, she said $35
a dose. Yeah,
you
know.
But at this point, it looks like, at least for that. For that dosage, that's not local tax dollars, but you better believe it's tax dollars someplace. It didn't just drop out of the sky.
No, they just don't.
You mean it's not free because it's from maybe the state or from the federal government or something?
But I will say that the Indiana Emergency Contingency Program has sent out the notification, and they've set up, I think it's like 5 different emergency places to go to, 5 locations throughout the state.
Yes, I was just going to ask you about that. Right.
To be able to contact to say, look, we're out or we're dangerously low, and they can provide a rapid
Another thing that's going to be interesting, then, I don't even know how this fits into your budgets moving forward, is we heard Governor Eric Holcomb late last week or middle of last week say, hey, Bloomington's going to be one of 5 centers in the state of Indiana that's coming up soon to deal with the opioid crisis. Mick Renheisen comes on this program, the deputy mayor, on Thursday and says, hey, we went and looked on the website and looked everywhere. We didn't know anything about this coming to town. So that's something that will add to all of this down the road.
Well, and there are some who think, well, that will just bring in more people from outside of the county.
That perhaps we'll need treatment. We'll have to need first responders. Perhaps, and you just keep adding and adding and adding to this. How do you even put a budget together to assume what's going to go on?
And you know, when our Centerstone came and met with us a couple of months ago, they said they were going to have people that could meet at the hospital, if they had, you know, if they brought in somebody, well, they would have to have full-time staff there to do that. I mean, so I don't think anyone was as prepared as, my goodness, this emergency, this crisis would call upon us to be.
Well, it's just going to have to, you're going to have to retool a budget somewhere because it doesn't look like it's quote-unquote ending anytime soon. This is going to have to dealt with.
Well, and I ask if we had any place where somebody could just say, this is the one clearinghouse place where we can see where every entity out there is prepared to do something about this, either in treatment or in the sentence, whatever. Because just the other day we saw, here was a new treatment center that had opened that nobody'd really heard about. And so I guess they're trying to put something together like that, but everything changes so almost daily. That Ms. Cuddle said it's difficult to have a list because as soon as you've got a list, everything changes.
Well, that's why it's referred to as a crisis, because it was orderly and in line, and we would be able to deal with it when it doesn't work that way.
No.
So I know that they're working on things to put together for this summit that they're going to have in a couple of months, but there are things that I believe that they'll move forward with a whole lot quicker than that. They're not going to wait for a couple of months to start moving on some of these things, because we don't know how many people might lose their life between now and the end
it's
of
terrible.
September. But I say kudos for those people who are putting the summit together to say how can we address it in the future. But when you're in the middle of a house burning down, you can't wait for 2 months.
A couple months, yeah.
You know.
You have to try.
Marty, can I go back to the public safety tax for a moment?
Certainly.
If the citizens who are listening to this want to say that they're interested in the fire departments getting more money, what do they need to do to maybe encourage those folks on the income tax board to consider the requests of the local fire departments?
Well, they certainly could make sure that they have notified them and notified the county council office for our votes, but also be notifying the city council, because they're the ones that are sitting there on this special committee, but the bottom line, it will be the vote. That's just a recommending committee, and so they'll be bringing those recommendations to the county council and the city council. But we all know it will be the city council because they have controlling vote of what will happen.
So
with this.
It is probably more advantageous for them to, along with, I don't suggest they don't contact the county officials, but it sounds to me like they really need to make sure that their voice is heard at the city council level.
But we also know that there will have to be some give and take on that. If everybody wants the money for the fire department and a whole other group wants the money for the central dispatch and a whole other group wants the money to continue to flow so that we can have those, the money to pay for the road deputies because we didn't have enough road deputies, then they will have to come together and say, well, then we're going to support more tax dollars going into it. We will be willing to pay more public safety tax.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people out there that really got surprised when they got their tax bills, so I'm not sure how that's going to go.
I'm just trying to say, Margaret, and I understand that I'm not a big fan of new taxes, but I am saying we can't have it all and expect it not to cost more money.
That's true. Amen. That's true. I don't disagree with you.
So somewhere there has to be a balancing act. Either just split up the money a little more, everybody gets just a little more than what they're getting, but there's only just this pot of money, and we're going to make that work, or everybody gets what they want, and we're going to go out there and charge more taxes. So it will be or a combination of it.
Yeah.
And that is something I don't have the answer to, because until...
But we need to be aware that's on the table moving forward.
Right, and that is something that we just have to be prepared that those things could happen. The other thing, when we talk about, oh my goodness, we're almost out of time. Solid Waste District Board is meeting tomorrow to go over their budget, and when I reviewed the budget yesterday, I saw that they are including a bonus of a longevity dollar bonus for even their part-time workers working only 20-some hours a week. Now, I mean, I understand our part-time workers, we couldn't make things work without them. Many departments count on that. But I just have concern that if we say that's okay for solid waste part-time workers, do we then have to come up with money to cover part-time workers for the county? And if so, where does that money come from?
Precedent. It's going to be an interesting thing. What time is that meeting? That's tonight, you said?
No,
today?
That's tomorrow. It's Thursday afternoon.
Okay. Thursday afternoon. Then. Okay, so when we talk to you next Wednesday, we'll have a recap of all that has happened, and we'll see where we stand moving forward on all of this. And then we know the three tax meetings are later in July. We'll get you those dates when we get a little bit closer.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
appreciate
Marty.
It. Have a good day.
You
folks.
Too.
Marty Hawk, County Councilwoman, checks in every Wednesday morning. Yeah, it's a little heavy lifting, folks, but it is money, and there is not an infinite amount of it. And now you could just see of all the places who need it and need more of it, where do you set your priorities? Well, that's a very interesting question. As Marty said, she doesn't have the answer, but we have to be aware of what all these people need and want, Margaret, because we have extra stuff to take care of these days.